All right, so for tonight, I want to read some words, and it's literally some words, from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. And the Word of God says, "Fight the good fight for the true faith." Amen. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Title of my message is Fight the Good Fight. Pretty obvious, I would say. And so we're going to talk about fights tonight. For some reason, humanity managed to get into fights from its beginning. I don't know if you count what happened between Cain and Abel as a fight, but at the point we get to Lamech, that's definitely a fight when a young man strikes Lamech, and then Lamech kills the young man and he's proud of what he did. Then later we have Abraham who has to save or desires to save his nephew Lot. And he's getting into a fight, into a battle, into war. And we have a lot of other fights in Scripture. Jacob fighting against the angel of the Lord. David is a fighter. And so it goes on like that all the way to Revelation. There's different types of fights. There is a physical fight. There is a verbal fight. There is a mental, emotional fight. And there is a spiritual fight. There is different levels and degrees to fights. Let's take the physical fight, for example. There is a physical fight where there are strict rules and regulations, where you can not do whatever you want. Let me just move this stand like Colleen did one time. You know, he said the sound guy in him, I don't know what it is in me. All right. So, different levels and degrees. So the physical fight. For example, if we take boxing, right? You cannot just start hitting with your feet. You cannot bite people's ears off and stuff like that. Yes, exactly. Some of you know what I'm talking about. I'm not into it, but I couldn't manage to notice or to get to hear about that and see that video. Anyway, you cannot do whatever you want. There are strict rules. Then there is a fight between a soldier and another soldier. That's another type of fight. There's no rules there. Surviving is the rule, right? Different levels. Then there's characteristics that a fighter needs. Speed, power, endurance, discipline, courage, intelligence. Everything is important. Humanity has a little problem. As a humanity, we have a few problems, that's true. But one of them is that sometimes we get so excited about this idea of fighting. And when I say we, I'm talking we as humanity, not as Emmanuel Church or my family or something. We get so excited about this idea to fight that if we forget to ask this very important question, is this fight a good fight or a bad fight? Is it a necessary fight or not? Imagine if some of the world leaders in history would have thoroughly asked themselves this question. We would have some other information in our history books, and we wouldn't see so many dark and sad pages, right? They just would have just asked themselves, is this fight I'm entering right now, is it truly a good fight? Or is it a bad fight? This is important. And the great news that I have for you guys tonight is that the best and most accurate answer to this question, if a fight is good or if a fight is bad, is at our disposal. We are able to get this answer. And I'm saying tonight that the best answer to this question is found in Scripture. The reasons why I believe that the Scriptures has the ultimate say if a fight is good or if a fight is bad is for two reasons. First, the Bible is inspired by God, the creator of the universe and the creator of humanity. So if someone's supposed to know how we're supposed to work, if someone has a plan, if someone has a design, then it's God. Then it's the one who built us. Then it's the one who created us. Then it's the one who made us. So if we have a question, is this a fight worthy of fighting or not? Is it a good fight or is it a bad fight? Maybe it would be a good idea to ask Him who created us, right? Second reason, the Bible is one of the only books, so we could say the faith-based books are the ones that take into account the entire lifespan of a human being, of a soul. The Bible says that every human being is born at a certain point in time, and then we exist forever, correct? Our souls don't die. Now, when it comes to a question like this, is a fight good or bad? Maybe you look in a place that takes into account your entire existence. Because how is it if you look just at a little portion of a picture? What can you say about it? You see a picture and you kind of notice that there is a tree growing in that picture, but you have no idea. Is it an apple tree? Is it? What kind of tree is it? What kind of? When you see the entire picture, you have a much better idea. The Bible talks about your entire existence. Your textbooks don't, because they don't believe in your entire existence. See? Now, sociopolitically speaking, you might be honored and praised for certain fights that you do. So to be a little more direct, so you understand what I'm talking about, in the Middle East, when you do certain things, certain fights, people might praise you for the fight you're doing and might say you're doing a good fight. But if you look through the eyes of God, is it truly a good fight? Is it truly worth your energy, your life even? That's why we need to look into the Scripture. To bring you into the original historical context, which I want to do, I have to say that when Paul talks here about fight the good fight for the true faith, he's not really thinking about a soldier fighting against another soldier. He's actually comparing this fight to the fight of a person that fights at the Olympic Games, which were very popular around those days. And he does that a few times in his letters to the churches. He does it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he makes that comparison, where he makes that parallel between the Olympic Games, the fighters, and the Christian life. But now, I really don't want you to think that, you know, I mean, after all, it's just a game. You know, sitting with the family around the table and playing Monopoly or something. It's not like that. Fights are always serious. You're always ending shedding some blood. And it is not just a game. And I'll show you that in a second. What is this fight for the good faith? Fight the good fight for the true faith really about? What is it about? What does it mean to fight the good fight? Yes, it is fight against evil. Yes, it is fight against sin. Yes, it is fight against temptation. All that's true. But I think more than everything, It means fighting to your best ability for the one thing that is at the core, at the center of your life. The true faith. The rock on which your entire spiritual existential structure is built. And the way you fight your battle, the way you fight this fight, will say a lot about how much you believe in the one who made this faith possible. The true faith, the good fight for the true faith. What is the true faith? What we believe is the true faith starts like this. A loving and righteous God created humanity. Humanity disobeyed God, rejected God, separated from God, and now got in a very messy situation where they couldn't get back to God. They couldn't reconcile with God. Their penalty is death, because the penalty for sin is death, says the Bible. And so the Son of God had to come down to earth, die for our sins, so that we can be saved. But because He is the Son of God, He resurrected from the dead, and we have hope. Praise the Lord. True faith in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. How do you fight this battle? How do you fight the good fight? Well, if you want to fight the good fight, you need the right equipment, I would say. And so, thinking about the right equipment, I couldn't help myself but think of Mr. Bond, James Bond, right? Every time in the movies, before he's going to his important missions, he's getting his new fancy equipment. And it's always the brand new Aston Martin that just came out that ends up being destroyed in every single movie for some reason. It's not always the fancy equipment that you need, or fancy described by the world. You know, David from the Bible, he had to go into a fight, or he wanted to go into a fight, and he had the opportunity to fight with the best possible weapons, with the king's weapons, right? He could have had the king's sword, king's shield, king's body armor. What does David say? On my way to the battle, I'll pick up some stones from the river. My sling has been pretty reliable. David doesn't need that. Now, when it comes to our equipment, we thank the Lord for Paul, who has been inspired by the Holy Spirit to write to the Ephesians in chapter 6. And I want to present to you the equipment that God provides for us to fight our battles, to fight the good fight. I put them in five elements. First, belt and body armor. I put those two together. Is the truth and God's righteousness. What is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. And God's righteousness, thanks God, it's God's righteousness and not our own righteousness. Imagine you would have your own righteousness as your body armor. Would really hold very, very thoroughly against the attacks of the evil one. But we have God's righteousness as our body armor. Praise God for that. What are our shoes? Our shoes are the peace that comes from the good news. And what does the Bible say in Matthew 11? Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Because God wants to give you rest. He wants to give you peace. Peace that the world cannot describe. A peace that you can experience even in the middle of tribulation. The peace that comes from God. The shoes, when you walk in peace. And where you go, you bring peace. When you encounter people, they feel the peace of Christ in you. Amen. Shield. What is our shield? It is faith. And here, faith as the verb, the trust in God. Trust in God is your shield, in God's character, in God's attributes. Then, helmet. And I love this one. What's your helmet? It's salvation. And there's two beautiful aspects in salvation. There's remembrance and hope. Remembrance and hope. Every time we celebrate the Last Supper, we think back of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And because of His resurrection, we have hope in the fact that He will come again and that we will spend our eternity with Him. And I love that it's the helmet. Because the helmet protects what? Protects your mind. And if you have ever been in tribulations, and I think you all have, you know that when you are in the middle of the tribulation, your mind just goes crazy, right? You don't know how to think straight anymore. And in moments like that, what you want to do is you want to remember. You want to look back and see that you have an amazing God who has been with you all the way. He has been with you all the time. And then you look to the future and you see Jesus Christ and what He has promised for you. You see that you're going to spend your eternity with Jesus. And that is amazing, and that's very important, and that's why the Holy Spirit brought exactly this aspect very, very powerful tonight through the testimony, through the songs. And here I have Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. I also wanted to spend a little more time on this for some reason. And the Word of God says, "And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving to you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders." You see this element of remembrance. "Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Remember when I think about the Lord. How He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how He picked me up and turned me around, how He placed my feet on solid ground. When I think about the Lord, when you're in the middle of your tribulation, when you're in the middle of battle, and you just cannot think straight, look back and remember that your Lord is God Almighty. And He is your God, He is your Savior, and He's there with you. "The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land He swore to give you when He made a vow to your ancestor Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob," says the Word of God in Deuteronomy through Moses to the people of Israel, the people who were born in the desert, the people who were about to enter Canaan. There, with God, the beautiful thing with God is that there is always something bright and beautiful in front of you, in your future. And that's amazing. And you should not forget that. Salvation, remember, and hope. And then 5, sword. Every soldier, at least in those days, needed a sword as well. What is the sword that God provides for us? It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And that is beautiful, that it is not our own ideas, that it is not our intellect, that it's not our emotions. It is the Word of God that doesn't change, that remains, and that has authority. The Word of God. You fight, you want to fight, you fight with the Word of God. So, my brother and sister, ladies and gentlemen, I would say that you are ready for battle. You're ready for battle. You have the right equipment. You're indestructible. Now, I know that sounds a little bit like Captain America, but it is the truth. Now, some of you might be already very eager to get into battle. And here, I want to clarify two things, two aspects. Who is our enemy? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. All right. Now, this verse is pretty common to you, right? Now, I'm pretty sure that everyone got the point that we're not fighting against Jack. We're fighting against the evil spirits that are messing with Jack, right? Now, what I want to tell you here is you might be very eager to get into battle. You might feel ready. And the prayer time comes and you're like, you know, thinking, Lord, Lord. And you're looking around and see who God needs deliverance tonight. Come on, use me, Lord. And it's great. The Lord wants to use you for sure. But I don't want you to forget something very important. Those evil spirits that are messing with Jack, they want to mess with you too. And so my advice here is make sure you're winning your own battles. Make sure you're winning through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then, with God's authority and the authority of the people around you that God said in their place, go and help others. Fight for others. This is an element we should never forget. Second thing, you might ask yourself, wait. Fight my battle? Why should I even fight in the first place? Isn't God fighting? The battle is the Lord's. Is this not in Scripture? Isn't God fighting for me? Why do I even need to fight? I have the greatest and most amazing fighter, the Lord. Am I really supposed to fight? And our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. It's a great song. Is this not based on Scripture? It is. Listen to what the Word of God says in Exodus chapter 14. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Now that is amazing. You are silent, standing, watching God do his work. And the ones who oppressed you for 400 years are drowning in the Red Sea. And you just sit and watch. Get your Tommy Bahama chair and watch God do his work. You know, and it happens. This is based on Scripture. It's the truth. There are moments in your life when God is fighting your battle and you don't have to lift a finger. You don't have to do anything. God is doing all. But then, there are also moments in your life, and there are a lot of them, and Debbie just testified, are moments when you're going through that tribulation, when you're in that fight, and God is there with you. Sometimes you don't even notice, but He's there. Imagine David standing in front of Goliath. At that moment, he didn't really feel like God is fighting my battle, you know. He was there in front of Goliath. And it's not like Goliath just tripped over a stone and hit his head and just fell dead. And David just went and took his sword. And No. David was there. He had to fight. It is true that the Lord gave him the victory, but he had to fight. But now this is very popular. Let me give you another one. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 9. The Israel army is in a fight with the Philistines. All of them are getting scared and they run away. Imagine a whole army running away. The Israelite army is running away from the Philistines. But David and Eliezer stand ground. They don't want to leave the battle. And they're fighting and fighting and fighting against the entire Philistine army. I cannot even imagine how they did it. The Bible says about Eliezer, he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. He was fighting so much that his hand was stuck to the sword. Imagine you fighting so much for God that your hand is stuck to the sword, to God's word, and you just say, you know what? I don't want to leave this. You're taking it wherever you go, because you love it so much and you fight for God so much. I don't think it was easy on that day for David and Eliezer seeing all their people leave. They were fighting. There was most probably some blood involved there. But God gave them victory. God is still giving you the victory. God is still fighting with you, but you are very often involved. And that's the reality that I want to tell you. Okay, not just one side of the story. Yes, there are moments when God fights your battles and you just look and thank God and say, God, I cannot even imagine how you did it. I didn't do anything and everything just, all the doors opened, everything was perfect. There are moments like that in your life and praise God for them. But there are a lot of moments in your life when you wake up, you're troubled, you don't know what to do, and you're praying to the Lord and you're standing there, you're kneeling down to and praying to God and say, Lord, please help me. And in your moment of desperation, God intervenes. You're fighting and fighting and God is there and you see His mighty hand. That happens a lot too. So just wanted to tell you that as well. Now, another aspect that's important to fighting. Fights are, like I said, always pretty serious. There is blood involved usually. And so, when you fight, you must be ready to sacrifice. When you fight, it might cost you a lot. In Acts chapter 14, we have an example of that. We know that Paul the Apostle, Christ's Apostle, as he says, chosen by Christ Himself, he fought a lot during his lifetime for Jesus Christ. And in Acts 14, he has just been to Iconium, preached the word of God with power. He was fighting the good fight for the true faith. And the Jews, a lot of Gentiles and Jews repented. They believed the message, but some were super angry. And it got to a point where they wanted to stone him and Barnabas, who was with him. And so they left Iconium and they went to Lystra. Now in Lystra, you know, they always did the same thing. Again, preaching the word of God. And then there was a crippled man there who was crippled for a long time. And at a certain point, Paul looks at him, sees that he has the faith to be healed, and says, stand up. and he stood up. And at that point, the people of Lystra thought that Paul and Barnabas are gods. So they wanted to bring sacrifices before them. Yeah, that's the word. See, I gave it to the ones to the guys in the back, and here you have all the verses. And so they declared, Paul is Hermes, and Barnabas is Zeus. And then Paul and Barnabas tell them, friends, we're merely human beings. Don't sacrifice before us. And from the declaration of them being gods, some Jews show up from Iconium and win the crowd over. And just like that, the whole crowd goes against them, drags Paul out of the city, and they stone him to death. Or at least the word of God says they thought he was dead. They stoned Paul and dragged him out of the town, thinking he was dead. But as the believers gathered around him, he got up. And now listen to that. And got back into the town. You got back into the town where people just tried to stone you, or where they stoned you? Some people, even theologians, say he was already dead. I don't want to get into that, but... And so what happens is he grabs Barnabas, he leaves, he goes to Derbe. He preaches the word of God in Derbe, and then what does Paul do? He goes back to Lystra, strengthening the church, the believers. Paul was ready to sacrifice. Paul was ready to sacrifice, and he sacrificed a lot for the Lord, so that he's able to say in 1 Corinthians, you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Paul fought the good fight. I want to remind you of another amazing man of God. His name is Polycarp. Polycarp was a disciple of John the Apostle. He talked to John the Apostle. He was his disciple. He's one of the church fathers, as theologians call him nowadays. And he was the bishop of the church in Smyrna. And at a certain point, when he was old, he was brought before the emperor of that time because he didn't worship the gods of the Romans. And so the emperor was trying to make Polycarp blaspheme Jesus, renounce his faith. And this quote of Polycarp just remained through history. And it's so, so beautiful. Polycarp says, 86 years I have served him, and he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? And history says that then he was burned, but the fire couldn't consume him, so they had to use a spear. And I believe that because I know that our God is amazing and powerful. Now, I don't just want to leave you off with that. I'm going to finish a little early, so if the worship team wants to come up and worship a little longer, I'm definitely for it. There is also a reward for the ones who trust in the Lord. There is a reward for those who trust in the Lord. And the Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. And I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. Are you looking eagerly to his appearing? Are you ready to fight God's battles? Are you ready to fight the good fight for the true faith? If you are, I want to encourage you tonight. Yes, it might cost you a lot. I don't know specifically what it's going to cost you. But whatever it's going to cost you, I want you to remember that Jesus Christ himself has a crown for you. The righteous Lord and Savior will crown you one day, and you will spend eternity with him. You will spend eternity with your Lord and Savior. And I don't know if there's any better news than that. I really don't know if there's any better news than that. I don't think so. Spending your eternity with Jesus Christ, the creator of the world, the one who loved you so much so that he came down from glory to die for my sin, to die for your sin, so that you and me can be saved. Praise the Lord.